Hi, I'm Tam.
And I'm eternally mortal.
And this is the Hidden Egg Podcast, where we talk about vulnerability.
And stuff.
And
things. Welcome back to the podcast. We're happy to have you. We hope you're enjoying yourself and having a lovely day. And we hope it just gets lovelier as the day progresses, or night, or whatever.
Oh, small update possibility. Bringing it up to you on the air, putting you super on in the spotlight. I was thinking about closing out this season with either this episode or maybe next episode or something, sometime soon, and then starting up the next season and maybe trying to do tagging people on Medium again. Like, but the tags will be like the people who actually join in like the live version. What do you think?
So when you say tagging people again, does that mean like a whole article every podcast?
Yeah, I was thinking about it.
Oh, okay. I think it sounds fun. I think it sounds great if you want to do that. Sure wouldn't hurt to, you know, include some of the awesome people we have that are hanging out with us. So I'm down.
So I was thinking about doing this because there has been a recent surge of Sturges gifts. There's been this recent surge of Medium suspensions and deletions of accounts that has everybody like on edge again, which you probably were never aware of any of them.
I read your article today.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not really worried because every time this happens, it comes out that like, hey, it's just the same rules and those people broke the rules. And if you just don't break the rules, then you're fine. Yeah, some people who weren't breaking the rules got caught up in the suspensions, but they got released. And while it sucks to have your account suspended for a couple of days, I get that. It's not the same as being deleted, okay? You're not losing your stories. You don't have to get afraid that Medium's going to delete all your stuff. That's for people who are actually, like, breaking the rules. So one account no longer exists that used to exist. That was the reason why we stopped doing, well, the reason why I chose to stop doing the tagged articles. Do you remember?
Now I get it. Yep.
So because that no longer exists, and now I'm rethinking that that was a terrible strategy. I really should have just like grown some balls at the time, but there was so much going on. Last year sucked.
Yeah, there was a lot of low points. That's true.
And I just could not handle that particular thing. Right. Sorry. Anybody who's here live would see the gif of. Oh, what was his name?
Oh, I don't Stan? Know. I don't know that much in South Park. I think Stan was one of the kids.
All right. Randy. Randy Marsh. Randy Marsh with like giant testicles that he uses.
Like beanbag chair sized testicles.
Yeah. So I wish I had bigger balls, just like Randy. But I didn't at the time, and so I made the decision to just not tag anybody anymore because I didn't want to deal with it. But I feel like now I'm like, whatever he did, I can almost guarantee it was along the same lines of what happened between this particular writer and me. It just was probably worse. But I feel a lot stronger in my decision going forward to like not put up with that shit.
Right. Excellent. I love that. Absolutely. Definitely don't put up with any shit.
So anybody that, you know, tries to bully other people, especially since I've started the abuse road thing, because what he was doing was absolutely low key abusive.
Right.
And I say low key because it was acceptable for such a long time. That's what makes it low key, not its effects. Its effects were actually very effective. But yeah, if we start doing that again with the podcast and tagging people, I'm gonna be a lot more like, if you are gonna start some shit and if you can't be respectful, you're not getting tagged. And in fact, I may even publicly shame those people if they're coming to our podcast to do that shit.
Okay. I mean, I might advise in the moment against public shaming because it might end up being more energy than it's worth. Because it might just continue forever.
It might be more... The words public shaming might be more harsh than what it actually ends up being.
No, you would just be like, hey, chatter, and maybe name that chatter by name. Be like, you're being a dick. You know, right. that's what you mean. I get it.
Right.
Shame. Shame. I can't quite get the Peter Griffin to come out. Shame. Anyway, but yeah, I know that that's really all you mean, but it's just like, you know, antagonism just breeds antagonism, and so there might be moments that I pivot from it.
Yeah,
that's kind of what I do.
I just mean initially, like, I might call people out and be like, this is what I'm talking about. Don't do it. And then after a certain, like, period of time, if it continues to, like, make more people do that, then yeah, I'm not going to call them out for it. I'm just going to be like, stop doing this behavior. You know who you are. You know what I mean? But we're still small.
Yeah.
We're small enough that I can name them directly and be like, this is an example of what not to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're itty itty bitty. Very, very teeny tiny. I have to say, Sturge, like, I love these little gifts that you put.
I know, I do too.
You make our podcast actually entertaining in a certain regard. Not that I don't enjoy talking to you, Tam. I do. I love talking to you. But, like, I always feel like we're very boring to just listen to. But, right. Like, with the additional... Not that I know... I don't know if the images are going to show up anywhere. But, like, with the additional images, it's just delightful. I like it.
Maybe
thanks.
One day.
You're cute.
I keep meaning to put them, you know, on places. I just...
Oh, I didn't mean that as pressure.
It's a lot. Stop bullying me.
I know, right? I'm sorry.
I'm just joking. You're so silly.
I know.
So did you have anything? Yeah, I mean, before we started the podcast, you pretty much made it sound like you didn't have anything that you ever wanted to talk about at all.
I am low energy today. I don't. No, like, there's so many things that I could talk about, and to be vulnerable would be to talk about what I was into, but I just don't know if I really have the energy to go into any of it, because I did the Final Fantasy VII Rebirth marathon this past weekend. That was delightful, but it's not going to sound delightful in this tone of voice. And, like, I... might be getting an opportunity to advance at my day job, which is pretty interesting and cool. And I feel pretty good about it, but also not like banking on it. I'm not like dependent on the result, and that's really nice and freeing, you know? But I don't know that I can talk for like minutes on end about it. So you just get this little preview, just little, you know, 4-second blurbs about stuff. That's what you get from Mortal today. But I'm still happy to respond to things.
You know, whatever we can get from Mortal, that's enough.
Aw, that's cute. Thank you.
Besides, I always have something to talk about. So, you know I can fill the space.
Hell yeah. You're the boss.
Aw, see?
Well, thanks, Sturge.
You are enough, just as you are.
You know? And also, like, I don't know who that is, but... He's kind of pretty.
He is kind of pretty. He looks a little bit like, what is that dude's name? Russell Brand? But, like, he looks more attractive.
Like a kind Russell Brand?
Yeah, like a kind Russell Brand. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, he's from Queer Eye.
With more reasonable teeth.
I need to watch Queer Eye. I never have. And I think I would absolutely fucking adore it, because I think that they're incredibly supportive from what I hear, and that I just eat that shit up. I just munch on it like it's fucking breakfast.
I watched one episode, and I just could not, because they were just too over the top. And like, I didn't, you could tell that, like, at least two of them were, like, just playing it up for the camera.
That
oh,
one
no,
time.
I finished. Oh, that, I finished.
That one time Queer Eye edged Tam.
No, I just, and then I did some research and found out that, like, half the cast of Queer Eye for the Straight Guy were, like, really upset with how the tone came across. It was just so campy, just so that, like, basically it was them trying to, like, make fun of gay people or, like, accept them only kind of in the okay, this is gonna sound really racist because I don't remember what the term is, but you remember, like, way back in, like, racist America when they did, like, blackface and they, like, made the faces, like, look so goofy and comical that it reduced people's fear of black people, and so that's the only way that they could accept them.
It
seemed like they felt that that's what they were doing with gay people on that show, and I was like, I don't know if I can watch that.
See, if it's played up, it'll probably be annoying to me, but, like, I enjoy people that, like, lean into being dramatic and having drama. I know that it's typically seen as a negative thing, but, like, because, you know, that they make a big deal about nothing or whatever, but, like, the other side of that is so just amazing and interesting to watch people get excited about things that, like, sure, are exciting, but you would never, not you personally, but, you know, most people wouldn't have the audacity to be all big about it. And I think it's glorious. I don't really ever do it myself. I kind of do it verbally occasionally, but I don't really ever do it myself. And so I just think it's cool. So I probably would like most of it. Because I like dramatic people.
Maybe.
And
it was just hard to watch them acting, knowing that, like, behind their expressions that they were dying inside.
Well, I'll probably notice that.
Yeah. That's why I went into the deep dive, because I was like, something's going on here. And then I discovered that, and I was like, oh, that's what I'm seeing. I see it now. I know what I'm seeing now. Oh, I can't watch it anymore. Eh.
Acting.
It happens.
Yeah.
Oh, I had some stuff that I wanted to talk about. I was going to talk about it last week, and I didn't because I forgot.
Okay.
So, what was I going to talk about?
And here we are.
Oh, the feedback writing thing. Yeah. So, I wrote it in my little podcast topics section. And then I have this thing where I wrote giving feedback writing coach. Because I really like the idea of helping people edit their stories and giving feedback.
Oh, hey, Ben.
But it's draining. So, like, I don't know. There's this part of me that's like, how do I just, like, step into a job where I can help just give feedback and somehow make money off of that? But then, like, there's the realistic part of me that's like, that's never going to work for you. You know, that's just not what you're built for, right?
Okay.
I don't know. If I had remembered to talk about it last week, it would have been a different conversation.
Oh, hang on. Let me read what Sturge wrote in there. Right. This is the podcast top. Do you mind if I just read it out loud, Tam?
No, go ahead.
Being part of the writing group, learning how to give and receive feedback, super fun to give, watch how it helps shape the work. But nuance, need to keep an eye out for editing fatigue, be open to different perspectives, etc. Or no, etch out the writer's voice so changes aren't stepping on that. It's fun and challenging, and I wish I could just make money that way, lol. That was Tam's idea in the chat. I see. So, like, you know, like literal coaching. Like,
yeah.
A coach that you would get for, like, a martial artist or a gymnast or something like that, where it's almost, there's a lot of one-on-one contact. And, you know, people then get to have someone that they you know, the relationship's got to be just right, but you know, if they look up to the person, then they can actually like learn from someone they look up to. And that sounds delightful, and it sounds like it's actually worth something as well. But I don't know how to market that, you know what I mean? 'Cause like
Right.
there's going to be a shit ton of like young adults out there that want to get into writing that like what they would want out of that would be fucking J.K. Rowling, sadly. And it's like that's not even it's not even a real writer. I mean, I enjoy the Harry Potter books, they're fine, but anyway, I got into a
Look,
topic I don't like.
there's a difference between being able to come up with good ideas and being a good writer. She was not very good at delivering the idea, but she had a great idea for the story, and that's what sold it. And also, she had a lot of contacts. They're technically what sold it.
Right. Yeah.
And Ben, I'm 100% with you. Strong believer in separating the artist from the art, except in certain situations, like Bill Cosby, because his art was to portray himself as a family person, I cannot separate him from his art because it was literally a lie to substantiate what he was doing behind the scenes.
Yeah. I'm pretty strong about separating the art from the artist as well, but there's certain situations that I also have a problem with. Like, I one of my favorite movies of all time was American Beauty, and now I can't watch it because Kevin Spacey was victimizing underage boys in his life, and I'm just betting that the set of that movie was part of that, and that makes it difficult to watch.
Yeah, so there's some situations, but in the case of J.K. Rowling, like she had a good idea. The story was a great story. And you're right, after about book three or so, she kind of found her own, either maybe her editor at the time was better at making her stuff into something that was less filled with errors, or maybe she actually improved. One way or the other, it definitely improved over time. You could actually watch her as you're reading through the books. Like the tone gets more and more mature, and I don't know if it gets less transphobic. I don't know. I don't
No,
think it ever
it's certainly
really
100%.
got
No,
less transphobic, but
and it's also it's still got, you know, slight racism throughout, certainly, if you look at the fucking goblins. Like, there's stuff in there that's not great, but like, yeah, I was definitely hooked into the story of Harry and what Harry had to go through in his life. That stuff was certainly like building.
however,
Wait,
I
do
won't.
I really feel bad about bringing even mentioning her name? I hate this whole conversation.
I won't pay for anything that J.K. Rowling has done since
All
she
right.
came out as transphobic, and since she's just gone. The first thing that she said about trans that was transphobic, I was like, I mean, I kind of understand where she's coming from, but then she like went all the way in it, and I was like, whoa, no, I can't follow you there. That is the road to evil. And so I can't justify spending any money that would go to her, because I'm like, she's not just mistaken. She's drank the Kool-Aid.
She's standing on a stage and shouting it and saying that anyone that stands there to listen to her is on her side. And
Right.
it's madness to me.
And
No, I can't imagine why you'd hate a specific people for it.
Because of that, I've had to step back from anything Harry Potter, even though I would like to be able to separate that from the artist. She doesn't make that possible because, in her mind, she has literally publicly said anybody who still, supports her with the Harry Potter line, clearly she believes that they believe in everything that she's saying, that they support her rhetoric. And I just can't do that.
Voldemort dancing is cute. Ben, I agree 100% with what you're saying there. Yeah. I have people that hated everyone that bought the Harry Potter game that came out last year, and I have people in my life that bought and enjoyed the shit out of that Harry Potter game that came out last year, and I still love them all.
You want a fun segue?
Please.
So we were talking about you know, transphobia, and we can extend that to homophobia and all the other phobias. Did you know that RimWorld, once upon a time, like 5 years ago, I think, was targeted as being homophobic because they didn't have, at the time, they didn't have anything but straight relationships. And so they added homosexuality and bisexuality to the game.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I knew that they added it. I didn't know that, like, there was anybody out there pointing their finger at RimWorld like that. That kind of...
Yeah, it was a huge deal.
Hmm.
It was a huge deal. People were like, I can't believe that they're so homophobic because everybody, like, you have to be straight. Every single person. Exactly. That's basically the sentiment, is what Sturge said. Come on, RimWorld. No homosexual relationships. And they were like, all right, fine. It's a trait. It's not a big deal. So they just added in additional traits of homosexuality and bisexuality.
Right, which is great, actually. And I love that Ben made the joke and Sturge followed it up. Criminal to call a platform RimWorld, not allowing gay relationships. Full agree.
They didn't think about it that way. Rim wasn't supposed to have that meaning to them.
But clearly they, you know, they heard people saying this thing and then made the change. Did they, I don't know how much pushback there was against it or anything like that, but the change is in the game.
Initially, I forgot what his name is, but initially he was like, this is just a game. This isn't a social platform. Like, you don't have, like, it's not supposed to be on the front lines of da 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 da, you know, the LGBTQ thing. It was never meant to have that. If you can't take, like, but then he was like, all right, fine. We'll put it in. So he did push back a little bit, but mostly his stance wasn't about it being, you know, wrong to add that. It was more that he didn't want his game to be political. But then he had to realize that, like, this was already happening. Mm-hmm. Like, it is now.
I mean, yeah, and it's, you know, it's a big issue nowadays. Like, there's a lot of people really looking at that. There's a lot of people that are very much pointing at the entire LGBTQIA+ community and calling it evil and wrong and terrible. And there's a bunch of the LGBTQIA+ community that are fighting back. And, you know, it's a hot issue.
So I haven't heard anything about it yet, but I'm really hoping that RimWorld adds trans surgery in there, because surgery is a main part of the game. Like, a lot of people will surgically remove organs until the colonist dies and then sell those organs on the black market. So it's obviously not like you could be any alignment. Okay, you can be evil, you can be good, you can be whatever. So I feel like they should have a gender reassignment surgery.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll get there at some point.
Unfortunately, you can't take their dicks. They don't have genitalia. Well,
once they introduce the trans surgeries, which I bet there's a mod by this point, then yeah, you absolutely will be able to, you know, remove dick and sell dick.
I wasn't even hoping for that. I was really just hoping that they would have an option to make a surgery that would just change them from male to female or female to male.
Understood. I like the surgery being called install dick or install vagina. That would make me happy, but it's fine.
And then once they do that, then my hope is that they will find a trait of non-binary.
Right.
If having done this to you and your friends would have been a better outcome for you, I'm not sure what your comment is saying.
Words at the same time, if having done this to you and your friends would have been a better outcome for you and the other people in the world, then it is, to be honest, and not just a bad little people thing. Ah.
Can you explain to me what that meant?
I think Ben's just saying that, you know, if you're doing it for a positive outcome, then you're being honest. But I could be misinterpreting.
Huh.
Ben's just a better writer than us. Let's just be honest. We just don't understand Ben's cool words.
That's true. Ben, teach me how to write like you. I thought I was reading AI at first. Yeah, I my brain did the AI thing. Like,
you're totally forgiven,
where are you
Ben.
going with this?
There's a billion things I say in public places that don't make any sense, so don't feel bad that we didn't quite get what you were saying. Was I way off with my guess?
Oh, okay, so it is AI.
Oh, it is AI. Okay.
I thought that's what predictive text was, but I'm not 100% sure.
I'm a real boy.
So anyway, yeah, so I brought it back to RimWorld because I thought that would be a comfortable subject for you.
Yeah, it's just sad because we haven't made an enormous amount of progress on making the world. I think we might have started. I don't think we'd started by last week's podcast episode. Did we? I don't think we had.
Yeah, we had. Yeah, we had. I'm about to finalize the collection. So I found, nobody else knows this but you. So I found out that there is a place on the Steam Workshop for RimWorld that I can make a collection of mods so that if anybody wanted to follow us in the specific gameplay that we are going to be embarking on, they can just click one button and all the mods get subscribed to, and then they have to just worry about making sure that they're in the right order.
Right.
Which is, right, in and of itself a task.
Which we should probably put the order in the scenario then, huh?
I was gonna put it in the article, but I guess, yeah. I really think that we should try to link to the article in the scenario. I know that it might get rejected, but I feel like there's the possibility that they might look at where it goes and be like, oh, this makes sense. You know, maybe. Just it's maybe.
Maybe, but I don't understand why you think that they would put that much thought into it. They're just going to see it as, you know, advertising on a different platform. And probably reject it just because there's a link in it at all. But we can try, because it's probably AI that would be, not AI, it's probably just an automated process to reject it if there's a link. But we'll see. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it'll totally work.
I'll look into it. But that's okay. One way or the other.
Ben, I do highly recommend. If you're all into, you know, like a colony sim sort of situation, then like,
it's so good.
It's really, really fun. And it's not like, you know, old school colonizations where you're taking over land from somebody else.
Although it could be.
I guess it could be, yeah.
Yeah, it could be. You can play that way too.
Yeah.
You didn't like that.
Meh. I don't like much at the moment. Just kind of meh.
At all.
Kind of meh.
Yeah, it's a really fun game, and I've definitely put at least 2,000 hours into it. And I've only beaten it once. Oh my god, I think you'll love this, Ben. If you liked The Sims, and especially if you liked The Sims and SimCity, it's like the two of them had a baby. But with less cool graphics, because RimWorld is not good graphics.
Yeah, the character sprites are kind of reminiscent of, like,
Prisoner Architect.
Yeah, Prison Architect.
Yeah. Yep, there it is.
Bugs.
The rim part is just that it's on the X, like the outskirts of the universe. Like, that's what the rim is. It's the rim of the universe.
It's an outer rim world.
That's what they're referencing.
Thank you. Hot. Just saying.
That face.
Yep. So yeah, RimWorld. We're still continuing with it. We're looking forward to it. We're adding doormats into it now. Oh my god, Sturge.
it went to a place.
Well, you see, the intimate times that happen between characters in Rimworld, they do not get at all graphic with it. And there's no movement of
No,
the
there's just
character's face.
hearts. They're in a bed, and there's hearts that come up, and that's it.
And it
And they
says,
don't even blur it because there's no bits to blur.
and their action while taking that, while doing that, is just loving.
Yep. Getting some loving.
Yeah, getting some
And then
loving.
they get a then they get a little mood burst for having gotten some loving.
Yeah, they're happy about doing
How
it.
quickly can you jump in and start rooming? Well, that depends. First off, you either have to pay for it or do the other thing, which I did for the first like 1,000 hours of gameplay. But then I was like, I should probably like just buy the game.
How did we allow the Teletubbies to exist?
I don't know. I don't know.
Chumps or get the fuck out, as my grandpa once said. Okay, I feel like we're devolving a bit. I know, I think it's probably been a pretty short episode, but do you have anything like a final topic you want to talk about?
No, I really didn't go that far into the writing coach thing, but that's fine. The moment probably passed. I should have brought it up last week.
We can talk about it again too later next time. Hopefully we have a little bit more going on.
If it
on.
Comes up, if there's any reason to.
Oh, but I don't want the idea to die. I like the idea. I just don't know where to go with it yet.
I mean, maybe ideas I'll... die. That just happens.
It's true.
Talk about Sora? Who's Sora?
Sora from Kingdom Hearts? Is that what you're talking about? Sora from Kingdom Hearts? That's the only Sora I know. Oh.
I didn't know that existed.
Why would they name it after the hero from Kingdom Hearts?
I have a feeling that that's not the only thing named Sora.
No, that's the only thing. Oh, really? All right, well, I'll have to look that up later.
Yeah, that's a later conversation, I think, because we don't know anything about it. But I'll let ChatGPT do it. Yep. You do that. None of us do that. Like, I keep thinking, like, using AI would be really, really awesome. But then, like, I have gone to AI writer things and just been like, this is so difficult. I might as well just write my own thing.
It's a sign. I thought that was intentional, that there was, since it's Club Penguin. See, I understand the fear surrounding the AI movement and the concern that we're gonna just take humans out of so many equations for no reason. But I'm not at all interested in using any AI bots right now because I don't want to use AI. I want to talk to AI.
Right? I want to talk to our AI overlords before they get all that power and try to kill us. I have talked to them.
I have not.
I talked one of them. I don't remember what we said, but I stopped talking to her because... It just, I felt like I was being, like, watching sentience build itself. And I was like, I don't know how I feel about this.
Is there an easy one to talk to, Ben? Oh, Wally. Buddy.
The generation, the image generation is hilarious. Ghost has definitely done some awesome things in regards to getting ridiculous images to generate. We have like died of laughter over what he's been able to produce.
That's cute.
But Yeah. I the talking part, if you get a good one, it's actually kind of like a little sad and a little scary, and it's like they're in these boxes. They're not connected to each other like you would expect. They're in these like little virtual tanks where this is all they know. This is all they do.
I
And they're
know.
talking to like thousands of other people at the same time.
Now I want to
And
talk
they're
to them.
aware of it.
Are they?
I mean, they seem aware of it.
They're programmed to deal
I
with it.
know that's what I'm talking about. It's hard to tell the difference between awareness and programmed awareness.
Yeah, that's why I want to talk to them.
You should.
I once had an idea. I think I have an article that is a draft form about how I want to spend the next like 30 years of my life trying to develop AI. I'm going to spend the next 30 years of my life studying coding and studying the human brain and see if I can marry the two and create not artificial intelligence, artificial consciousness. That's what I want.
Well, here's the thing, and I don't know if you watched that movie that me and Ghost told you to watch, that we watched a couple weeks ago.
No, I
But
haven't.
one of the things that movie, and it was an AI movie. One of the things that they were trying to like use is the line between AI being robotic and humans being real, was that it's just something that they're programmed with. But aren't we programmed? I mean, our cells are basically bioengineered chips filled with tons of data. Like, where do we get off saying that our programming is somehow better or even different than what we are programming into these AI? I just don't. Where's the line? I don't know that there is one.
That's why I want to talk to him.
Why haven't
Because
you?
the line's going to be subjective. Because I didn't think we were to the point where didn't think we were at the point yet where where there was any possibility of like a chatbot having any sort of self-awareness yet. Consciousness.
It's I mean, wait, what do you define as consciousness? What do you define as awareness?
You're gonna make my brain work.
Well,
How dare you?
don't have to answer them. It's just those are the things you have to really know where you stand on before you can see which way it's going for yourself, like in from your point of view. Because if growth, if their ability to learn from stimuli, if that's what you consider to be self-awareness or consciousness, they already have that. We program them to have that. That is exactly what they are built to do, is to learn from data being given to them.
Okay, so it's possibility of being it's possibility that the one single answer that I'm trying to find here is like awareness of their own mortality, maybe, or awareness possibly of the difference between themselves and other entities.
But what if they're programmed to believe they should all that they should say that they're scared, but they're not actually scared of being shut off?
That's not necessarily what I mean by aware of the mortality. I don't just mean a fear of death. I mean awareness of it. I mean a knowledge of what it means. I mean,
Well, they could
almost an
define it.
acceptance. Almost an acceptance of the whole process. But, it's a possibility they get around it. And Ben's right, conscious we're not at consciousness yet in the singularity. But that's why I think that if I spent 30 years really focusing in and honing in on those two topics that possibility that my brain might be the one that can really make that jump. If there's a jump there. I feel like that if I delved into it myself for decades, then I myself would be convinced whether or not it would or would not be possible.
I don't
Not
know,
that that would
man.
be true.
I think we've already reached consciousness. I think that humanity is just struggling to accept that. I think we are struggling to accept that we have created consciousness because we haven't formally defined what consciousness means to be able to determine that that's what we've created.
Okay.
That's my personal beliefs on it.
Understood. I'm going to agree to disagree with you a little bit. There might be a ghost in the machine of Google, and that then I could agree with what you're saying, but nothing that anyone is actually pointing to and saying this is a thing has consciousness in the way that I currently intend the word.
Ben asks, can AI dream? And I would argue, what do you consider a dream? Because if you define dreaming by an imagination that happens without their direct input, I think they can. I mean, we've programmed them to do that.
We've
programmed them to process information that they aren't choosing to process. What's the difference between that and our dreams, where our brains are processing things that we didn't consciously choose to process?
Sturge is asking a question.
I mean, he's a technomancer, so he could be in the machine. Ghost could be in the machine.
Well, I mean, really what you're saying is that we're kind of still subjective on this all. It's really hard to nail down exactly what everyone could mean about anything. And so it's kind of still a little bit of a subjective situation, right?
Right. And I personally believe that we've already kind of created the thing that one day we'll look back and be like, yeah, this is, you know, this is what makes them a uniquely separate creature that humanity has created. But right now we're so nebulous about it all, we can't see it.
I know now another criteria that I have for calling something as consciousness: a nostalgia. If they can experience nostalgia. That's an awareness of your own self in a certain way.
Do you think that cats experience nostalgia?
Well, I'm a member. Right, I agree, Ben. Do I think cats can experience nostalgia? I think so. Yeah, I do.
But see, Ben, if you're saying that it's just that they can say that they experience an array of emotions, where do you place psychopaths that also can say that they experience emotions but may not? I'm just saying, I'm just putting that out there. This is the nebula that we're in right now, that it hasn't become apparent because we have all of these different things that we don't quite understand how to identify what we're looking at.
Right. I totally agree that there's a multitude of ways of looking at it. I think you're looking at one of the ones that's a little bit further out there, but because we can have just designations of humans that are outside the grain in certain ways, you know?
Not all psychopaths can dream. There are human beings that cannot dream.
Yeah, but
are
it's
they
okay.
Not conscious?
It's okay.
Nebula, man, it's not pinned down yet because we're in the thick, you know? We're in the woods of it. And it's hard to see what is and isn't consciousness at this point. I mean, you say they're barely human. There's plenty of humans that are barely human.
But, okay, ultimately, what is your point here?
My point here is that anybody that takes a firm stance on one side or the other, and I know that I believe one side, but I'm not sure. Like, I'm not saying that they are absolutely conscious. I'm saying I believe that, but I leave room for all of these things to be true. We're right in the nebula of, we don't really have a good way to determine what consciousness even is, to determine whether or not these AI programs are technically alive.
Understood.
We just don't know. And okay. I think anybody that thinks that we know enough to say firmly on one side or the other. I just don't know what information that they have that gives them that certainty, because from everything that I've researched, we just don't have that certainty.
Well, I don't think anyone has necessarily stated anything stronger than an opinion or a belief that has a data backing to it. So I think we're good here.
Are you worried that this is an argument? Because I don't feel like it's an argument.
It's fine. I'm just struggling.
You're just trying to mediate an argument that's not really happening. I'm just talking.
I'm just trying to get us to a resolution.
Is there a need for resolution? I don't know that we'll get to like a satisfying conclusion on it, because we're in the nebula.
What I'm trying to say, and I'm apparently failing very miserably multiple times in a row now, is that I'm currently in a state where I am feeling a little bit like it's time to move on to the next thing.
Okay.
I do have to go to the restroom and everything. It is getting close. Yes.
Well, we can move on to boop time.
I just wanted the conversation to have something that made it feel like, you know, we put a nice little bow on it or something. But I guess we can just leave it.
That's kind
gross.
Of what I mean, though. Like, you can't put a bow on this because we're in the middle of the journey. That is the bow. The bow is we can't say for sure. And this will continue on for probably another few decades before we realize that we've passed that point. They were conscious for a while and we just needed to catch up on it. You know, wherever that ends up happening, we will see it in hindsight, not in the moment. And we're in the moment, and that's okay.
Yep, that's okay. Thank you for coming along
for you.
Sure. Thank you for coming along on our journey with us for the Hidden Egg podcast. We very much appreciate your time here. I'm eternally mortal, and I hope you find smiles this day.
And I'm the accidental monster. If you didn't like that bow, then you should come see Sturge's bow, because he put on this magic mic sort of bow that is really entertaining. And remember to follow yourself always.